Welcome to Mill Creek Church in Belleville, Texas, where our worship service is in progress. Today, Pastor Monty Bird continues with his sermon series on the Book of Romans. And now, Pastor Bird.
Join me in prayer, please. Father, as we approach your word this morning, I just pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to your wonderful truth. I pray, Lord, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you'd continue to mold us and shape us and sanctify us. In Jesus' name, amen. I am glad that this will be the last Easter sermon that I preach that is in a somewhat modified format. I think the last Easter sermon was recorded, which I absolutely hated. I hated recording my sermons by myself. It's just not the same as preaching to the congregation. And I think that we can all agree that we are living in strange and unusual times. And in fact, over the last 2 years, if you just think back what we've witnessed that we have never experienced before as Americans, we've never experienced the amount of rioting in our major cities as we did over the last couple of years to the degree that we witnessed. We've never, ever experienced in our lifetime a pandemic. We've never, ever experienced the social unrest and the political unrest that we have seen, not only in our nation's capital, but in state capitals across the land. Things that were just unimaginable even 5 years ago, we have experienced in the last couple of years. In addition, over the last couple of years, we have seen just how powerful social media has become in our lives. It is a way in which all of us get information about what's going on in the world. But there is a problem sometimes with social media. Anyone on social media can make a claim. Anyone in social media can claim to be an expert. Anybody on social media can claim that they have witnessed an event. And as social media has become more prominent, we have discovered that a lot of times social media is full of half-truths and lies. And this has created a kind of skepticism that has never existed before in our society. And this skepticism is rocking the very institutions and fabric of our society, and it leaves one at the end of the day somewhat disillusioned and perplexed. And as I was thinking about these things, it made me recall a conversation that Pilate had with Jesus Christ before he faced the cross. If you will, turn with me to the 18th chapter of John. John 18, and join me in that conversation as we start off at verse 37. John 18, verse 37. Pilate looks at Jesus and he says, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered Pilate and he said, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" One could say that Pilate's response to Jesus is one of a cynic when he sarcastically asked, "What is truth?" The definition of a cynic is someone who believes that people are motivated purely by self-interest. One could say that Pilate wasn't a cynic, but a realist who, from his perch of leadership, encountered the endless self-promotion of humanity. But in Pilate's question to Jesus, I can see the mass of humanity, after you've lived a life of dealing with society, when you reach the point in your life where you say, what is truth? What is truth? This is where society is at today. As we constantly look out at the problems that the world faces, and we do not have a firm grasp of the solution or even an agreement on what is the true problem. What is truth? That's for the lost world. For the saved world, Jesus already answered that question in a conversation that he had with Thomas right before his death. In John 14, starting in verse 1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Look at what Jesus responded to Thomas. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." The world today may face chronic cynicism, but my friends, as Christians, we do not have to, because the world may be saying, what is truth? But as we celebrate Easter this morning, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know the truth. We know the eternal truth. All the false gods that the world has ever created do not possess an eternal truth. But Jesus Christ has proven that he is the truth. He laid claim that he was the truth as he conversed with Thomas. But then later he proved that he is the truth. How did he do that? The answer can be found in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, as Paul writes the letter to the church of Rome, and as he opens up that letter in verse 1 of the first chapter, Paul said this, "Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." And then he describes Jesus, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. And then look at verse 4. "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." In other words, Jesus Christ was proven to be the Son of God by his resurrection. That's how we know that Jesus is the Son of God. That's how we know that Jesus Christ claimed to be the eternal truth of God is him in his words, because he rose from the grave. And when he rose from the grave, he declared that he is truth, and it is an eternal truth. Jesus said that this would be the case, that he would have an eternal truth. In the parable of the fig tree, in Matthew 24, Jesus said in verse 35, he said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Now, I want you to think about that just for one moment. As we think about the words of Christ, and as we try to put yourself in the shoes of those people that were hearing those words for the very first time, and Jesus Christ made the claim, "My words will by no means pass away." And when you really think about it, for the person that was sitting there and listening to Jesus firsthand, when you think about the background of Jesus Christ, he was born in obscurity. He was a carpenter by trade. He had no home. He had no money. He had no formal education by the world standards, and he was living in a country that had no power and was occupied by the superpower of his day. And as he sat among the people, he made the claim, "My words will by no means pass away. My words are eternal. They are going to live forever." That's quite a claim, isn't it? When you think about it in that context in which Jesus spoke those words, is that true? Well, the Guinness Book of World Records estimates that more than 5 billion Bibles have been printed as long as we have had the printing press. It is the most printed book of all time. According to Wycliffe Bible Translators, the Bible has been printed in over 704 languages. The New Testament has been translated and printed into 1,551 languages. So here you have someone who was living in obscurity in a small country, no education, and he said, "My words will never pass away." And here we are 2,000 years later, and we see where 5 billion Bibles have been printed in languages in which the whole world can understand. Yes, it is true that his words are true and eternal, and they will never, ever, ever pass away. According to Pew Research, Christianity is the largest religious group in the world, making up 31% of the world's population. I want you to think about that just for one moment. How does one become a Christian? Are you coerced? No. Are you born into it? No. We become a Christian when we hear his word and the Spirit moves us and we accept his eternal truth. That's why in Romans 10, verse 17, it reads, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's how we all became Christians. Someone somewhere presented his truth to you, the Spirit moved you, and you accepted Jesus Christ and his truth. And that has been going on from an extremely small group of people starting out 2,000 years ago to where today we're the world's largest religion, and it is alive and well. Now, yes, you and I living in America can sit and we can lament that we are departing from the rich spiritual history which this country has experienced in times past. And in fact, we can lament the decline of Christianity all across the Western world. But let me read a recent Lifeway study to you. It says, in 1900, twice as many Christians lived in Europe than in the rest of the world combined. Today, both Latin America and Africa have more. By 2050, the number of Christians in Asia will also pass the number in Europe. According to annual growth rates, currently Christianity is barely growing in Europe on an annual basis, 0.04%. And in America, it's only slightly better, 0.56%. In Oceania and Latin America, it is growing by 1.18% annually. But the study goes on to say that the faith, the Christian faith, is exploding in Asia, where it is experiencing a 1.89% annual growth rate. And in Africa, Christianity is growing by 2.89% a year. Think about that. In 10 years from now, the African continent will have 30% more Christians than they do today. His truth is alive, and it is well. All across history, you've seen Christianity at different points in time grow dramatically in different nations. And just as the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas what he must do to be saved, people today all across the globe are still asking that question. What must I do to be saved? And in fact, when you look at that account in Acts chapter 16, when the jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" In verse 31, Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." But look at verse 32. It says, "Then they spoke," what? "They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in this house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all of his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household." How was he saved? By the word of the Lord. In other words, he was saved by the eternal truth of God. But not only are we saved by His truth, we are sustained by His truth. When you look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it reads, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, in being the brightness of His glory, in the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power." In other words, not only did He save us, but He is sustaining everything. He is the sustaining influence today in the world by what? By His Word. By His Word. And His Word was proven true and correct by the power of His resurrection. That's why we're here today. That's why we're celebrating Easter. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ proved that His teaching and truth are correct and reliable. Now this should have not only an impact on a lost person who's first understanding these words and comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And in fact, you can see this with a lost person. And I love when people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because you see the radical transformation of someone's life after they accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It proves that Jesus Christ is eternal, that He's still alive and well, that He is accomplishing His purpose. And we see that as a lost person is transformed by the power of the gospel in His truth. But I would argue, as we celebrate Easter, that as believers, we should be resting in the eternal truth of God as we walk with the Lord, as we walk with Him. And sadly, I think that the American church has grown incredibly lazy, and they don't thirst for the truth of God that can sustain us. Because that's the promise of Jesus, is that He is sustaining us in His truth. What do I mean by that? Well, when Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," as He made that claim, and then He proved that claim through defeating death, and His words were proven to be true and reliable. There are some people out there who take a very elementary view of that truth. And by elementary view, I mean that they lay claim to the eternal truth of Christ just for a ticket to heaven. And as I've said many times before, unfortunately, that's how the gospel message over the last 40 or 50 years has been preached. Come down, say a few words, and get your ticket to heaven. And there's a lot of people that are going to show up at church services today all across our nation, and it will be perhaps the only time that they will darken the door of a church house all year long. In fact, we have a nickname for them that go up for Christmas service and Easter service. People call them Creasters. You show up for Christmas and you show up for Easter and you claim that you believe in the truth of Jesus Christ. But that claim of knowing Jesus Christ is just claiming that ticket to heaven. I have done these things, so therefore this gives me the right to enter into heaven. It's a relationship that's built on a transaction. I've recognized Jesus Christ, therefore I get to go to heaven. And then they define their life however they want to outside of that one transaction of heaven. It's all about heaven. It's all about escaping the flames of hell. That's all it's about. And unfortunately, the only time that they want the church is when there is a marriage ceremony going on or there is a funeral going on, and all of a sudden they need the church. Outside of that, the people that fall into that group define their own life the way they want to. But that's not celebrating Jesus Christ in His eternal truth. Christ just isn't about heaven. He said, "I am the way, the life, and the truth." He's the truth, but He's also the life. the life. Well, what does that mean? That means that if you really give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you take the philosophies of the world, all of the false teachings of the world, all of the false promises of the world, all of the things that end up in a dead end and in desperation and despair, and you throw those away. You throw those away. Because, after all, there can only be one truth. There can only be one truth. It's just like in math. There cannot be two answers. 2 + 2 can only equal 4. That is it. And when you think about what Jesus Christ claims, he says, "I am the truth. I am the truth." And he said, "My words will live forever." And when you think about Jesus Christ saying that, and here we are centuries later, his word is still alive. People are still coming to a saving knowledge. And it's not about this binary decision of just, do I go to hell or do I go to heaven? That's not what celebrating Easter is about. Celebrating Easter is celebrating Jesus Christ, the person of Christ, his teachings. And when we think about the teachings of Jesus Christ, he touched on every single topic that we experience as humans. He taught about family relationships. He taught about worship. He taught about finances. He taught us how to interact with our fellow human beings in an appropriate manner. You can go on and on and on about the teachings and truth of Jesus Christ. And as believers, as we say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, what we're saying is, or what we should be saying, isn't this idea that we believe in this binary relationship of, oh, I believe this, so therefore I get to go to heaven because I believe in a historical Jesus. No, what we're saying is that I believe the words of Jesus Christ, and I believe that his teachings and truth will lead me to a joyful life. And when we take that and we embrace that truth, and we say the rest of the world doesn't make sense, and we discard all of those things and we say, I just want to know more and more about Jesus in his truth. I want to rest in his word. Just as the writer of Hebrews says, I want to be sustained. I want to be sustained by the words and truth of Christ. We're sorely missing that in modern American church life. Modern American church life has become about music that looks like the rest of the world. The church has made this decision that we've got to do worldly things to attract the rest of the world. There is a church here in town that has done nothing over the last 2 weeks but promote an Easter egg hunt. Let me not be confusing at all. I will roll over in my grave before this church ever has an Easter egg hunt on Easter Sunday morning. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the central theme of the church. And there is no way that I'm going to confuse the hearts and minds of young children with the beautiful truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ by getting out in the churchyard and hunting Easter eggs. It will never happen. Why is that? Because there's a truth. And the truth isn't in the Easter bunny, and it isn't in an Easter egg. And I don't have to confuse the population of this community by putting those two together. You can do whatever you want to when you get home. But this hour, This moment and where we're all congregated is about the truth of Jesus Christ. It's special. It's unique. But unfortunately, we've said, well, we've got to kind of commingle all of the false teachings of the world. And, you know, that way it's just, it's not as convicting, is it? If we just kind of put all of this stuff together and we redesign the church service. Jesus Christ is either the stumbling block or He's the cornerstone. He's either the central truth or you deny Him. That's what the Bible says. That's what we're about. And I, my friends, quite frankly, would rather preach to 50 people that are concerned about growing in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ than to preach to 1,000 people who are just there so that their kid can experience an Easter egg hunt. That's not what the church is about. The church is about centrality of truth. The eternal truth of Jesus Christ. The transforming truth of Jesus Christ. And we need to promote that so people can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is the Easter message. The truth of Jesus Christ. And also we need to be resting in that truth as believers. And I think that Easter Sunday is a great time for us to evaluate our life and say, am I resting in the eternal truth of Jesus Christ? Am I seeking the truth of Jesus Christ? Is my life ordered according to the truth of Jesus Christ? Because there's only one truth. There's only one way. And when we rest in that, we have peace and contentment and joy and happiness because we're resting in what is really true. The choice is clear and the outcome is clear. At the end of pursuing false truths, and you can see it in the life of Pilate, you end up being a cynic, disillusioned, not happy, and you go, what is truth? What is truth? But my friends, as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we rest in it, when we take hold on it, when we claim it, when we walk in it, we can proudly proclaim, I know the truth, and His name is Jesus Christ. Join me in prayer, please. Father, we just praise You today. We praise You that through Your grace and through Your mercy that You took the veil from our eyes so that we could understand and comprehend the wonderful message of the gospel. That You gave Your Son to us so that we might have life. And I pray, Lord, if there is someone listening today who does not know You, that they might accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord today. I pray, Lord, that we might, as believers, stand on the truth, stand on the promises of the Word, and that we might live according to Your Word. And after we've lived upon it, I pray that we could proclaim it and be a bold witness for Your kingdom today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us as Pastor Byrd continues this sermon series. If you wish to hear more, you may find him at millcreekchurch.org or go to sermonaudio.com/millcreekchurch. Have a blessed day.